The Colts are casting a wide net in the search for their next head coach, and one candidate already appears to be impressing the team. We're going to talk all about him today on Locked On Colts. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you all for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. This is your daily podcast covering your Indianapolis Colts, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, which has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I'm Jake Arthur, and he's Zach Hicks. You know the two of us from horseshoehuddle.com, of course. Today, we're going to talk more about some of these head coaching candidates. We've actually got one who has reportedly already made a pretty strong impression on the Colts, and that's Los Angeles Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. We'll then chat a little bit about a couple of the in-house candidates, Jeff Saturday and Bubba Ventrone. To help us learn more about each situation of those guys, we've got Stephen Holder with us. He covers the Colts for ESPN, of course. You know him, you love him. Welcome to the show, bud. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys? Good to be here.
We are awesome. Awesome. All right. So Raheem Morris, you know, out in the West Coast, not a lot of us know a whole lot about him, but you guys actually crossed paths way back in your days with the Buccaneers. So you know a good bit about him and how he's developed from being that 32-year-old head coach to now where he's a really highly revered coordinator.
Yeah, I first met Raheem Morris, I'm going to date myself here, but in, I believe, 2005. So it was my first year covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on that beat. Mike Tomlin, I should say, was the defensive backs coach. That was his last season in Tampa Bay. And his assistant defensive backs coach was Raheem Morris. And, you know, here's this young guy who's just a big talker and a big presence and a big personality. And I'm not talking about Tomlin, although he was too. I'm talking about his assistant who – you almost never talk to those guys, right? I mean, they're the assistant to the assistant coach. And right. He just had a way about him. He was in a room, a unit that had a lot of veteran players, guys like Rondé Barber, Dexter Jackson, who was a former Super Bowl MVP. When the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, he was in that room. John Lynch had been there as well the year before I got there. So, you know, you're talking about some really big personalities that he was able to come in and really, I think, make a rapport with. And so I thought that was really impressive. And you talk about a guy who understands the game and knows how to communicate the finer points of the game. I think that's one of the hardest things about coaching. You know, you might know it, you might understand it and be able to see it, but can you teach it and can you relay it to players? That's one of the things that makes coaching a difficult job. But anyway, that's my background with Raheem Morris. He really made an impression on me very early, even though his first foray into head coaching was a little rough for sure.
Right. And just to talk about that first foray into coaching, I mean, it was not great. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers team was not in a good place. And he was, I think, at the time, the second youngest head coach ever hired in the NFL. It might have been the first, like the youngest one. I think 32 years old only. He went from defensive backs coach to that head coach position. And I know a lot of Colts fans are terrified of that quote-unquote retread head coach. But, you know, again, someone that you've cross paths with back in the day and someone that you've seen kind of grow over the years, is it kind of, I guess, a little disingenuous to kind of judge him based off of that for what he is now?
Yeah, I mean, you have to take it into account for sure, right? I mean, everything matters, but I do think that if you're seeing him in that same light today, that's where it would be a mistake for sure, because I think it's one of the best things that ever happened to him because he grew from it, right? And I remember, just to set it up, I remember when it happened, it was about 3 weeks after the season, and we thought that John Gruden and general manager Bruce Allen, we thought they were safe at that point. Mm-hmm. It was the weekend of the championship games. That's how late this was. And I remember getting a call like, hey, we're about to put out a press release Gruden and Allen are fired and Raheem Morris is going to be the head coach. And I remember almost joking, like, get out of here. This is insane. But so no, he wasn't ready. It was crazy. It was ridiculous. All of those things. Right. But to give you some sense of how this was supposed to go, he was actually going to be taking over as defensive coordinator, Raheem Morris, yep, that year, because Monty Kiffin, Lane Kiffin's father, was going back to college to work with his son. So they had an opening, and they were going to make Raheem the defensive coordinator until, of course, they needed the head coach. And they said, hey, what are you doing? Are you busy? Be head coach. And so he told me, I'm getting off the subject, but he told me he was at the barbershop on a Friday afternoon minding his own business, and the owner calls him. He's like, this can't be good. So it was good. So anyway, he wasn't ready, and I think he tried to be too much of a friend to the players. And, you know, you can be a player's coach, but you can take anything too far. And so there wasn't a lot of discipline. There wasn't a lot of structure, nothing, right? I mean, he just didn't have a blueprint for it. It wasn't even on his radar, and then he had to do the job. So now he's thought a lot about that for a lot of years. He has been interim coach as well, and in Atlanta. He has worked with some excellent head coaches, by the way, as well, which I think informs how you will do the job. So to be honest, on paper, this doesn't mean that everybody has to get on board with Raheem Morris, but on paper, he is one of the finest candidates, like, right, without question. He has the experience, he has the background, and he has, I think, the personality.
Definitely.
Yeah, and obviously relationships that you build along the way, you know, in the staff that you can form as a new head coach, that's a huge part of it that a lot of people don't talk about. He's got his hands in a lot of different trees at this point. You know, Zach Kiefer, who is, you know, he wrote about it in The Athletic, about, you know, that impressive interview, and said that he could bring along some impressive guys. Just looking at Eric Henderson, the defensive line coach, D-line coach from the Rams, Zach Robinson from the Rams. Is that a big part of it for him, is the staff that he can bring? Because, again, he's got connections pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I think it matters a lot. And I think it's the reason one of the biggest conversations you have is, you know, what is your staff going to look like, right? And I think he also, I think, knows the questions to ask of potential staff members, because this is key. You know, just knowing, oh, I heard this guy's a good coach. Okay, that's great. But like, how do you know, right? And knowing how to evaluate those coaches is important. And he, I think, is better positioned as a defensive guy. You worry about that. But as a defensive guy who has also coached on offense, I think he has some ability to understand that side of the ball and to know, you know, what it takes, you know, to be good at coaching on that side of the ball. So that only helps him, I think, even more to be a guy who can put together a dynamic staff. And there's no question about it. I mean, he's really beloved around the league. Everyone who's worked with him loves him. I've known Greg Olson, who's a member of that Ram staff as well. I've known him since my Tampa days, and he loves Raheem. He's always loved him and loved working with him in Tampa. And we always talk about just, you know, how in a different situation, how that could have worked out very differently for him, because he has all the tools. So anyway, a guy like Greg Olson, who has worked with just about everybody under the sun, would walk over hot coals for Raheem Morris. Loves him.
Yeah. And you mentioned something really, really fascinating about Raheem Morris's, just his background, is when he went to the Falcons, you know, he was there as an associate head coach and defensive backs coach, I believe. And then he got wide receiver coach thrown on top of that. So that just shows that flexibility. And then when he went to the Rams to be their defensive coordinator, from what I remember from that situation, they were like, hey, keep Brandon Staley's scheme and kind of keep doing a lot of what Brandon Staley was doing, even though Raheem Morris is from that Monty Kiffin tree. You know, it's a very, very different style of stuff. So do you think Raheem Morris, just his flexibility as a coach, will bode so well when he eventually does get that next head coaching job?
Yeah. In fact, I would say this, you know, when he first took over in Tampa Bay, this didn't work in the long term, but the fact that he tried it will tell you something. They didn't immediately try to implement, you know, the old Tampa 2. They actually mm-hmm. went to a more aggressive man-to-man style of defense and a sort of a pressure defense. And they backed away from it ultimately because they ended up changing coordinators And that's what Raheem ultimately started calling the defense. So he went back to what he knew best. But what I'm saying is it showed that he had a willingness to get outside of his comfort zone. And so in the example you just cited, I think really solidifies that. So I think that's a great sign of someone with leadership capacity, you know, because one of the things you'd never want is someone who has all the answers or thinks they have all the answers, right? And that's how you get in trouble, I think, as a coach. So that's not Raheem Morris, and it never has been. So that's a great sign for me when you're looking at a candidate.
Yeah. For sure.
It sounds like he'd fit in pretty well, especially into a Colts locker room that's got a lot of strong personalities in it. Just being able to communicate with them, you know, from that vantage point. And it's something Jeff Saturday has been able to endear himself with. We're actually going to move on and talk about Saturday and a couple of the in-house candidates in a moment. But first, we want to tell you guys about our friends over at Built Bar. If you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and the calories, then you've got to try a Built Bar. What makes Built Bars so good is they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they are healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. If you're close to Walmart or Sam's Club, just run in and grab a box with hit flavors like brownie batter and churro. You can thank us later. All right, so I just mentioned Jeff Saturday briefly there. So the list of candidates is growing by the day, it seems. He's easily the least qualified of the bunch, just, you know, to put it plainly. In terms of coaching experience and everything, it is true. But he's obviously been there for half a season. Chris Ballard said it at his end of season press conference, you know, if he has any leg up, it's that he's been in the building, knows how it works, and knows what he would already like to change. But is there anything from a Chris Ballard perspective that could actually move Jeff Saturday up the list? Because, I mean, we know what Chris likes to do. That what happened midseason was about as uncharacteristically Chris Ballard as possible. So, you know, so is there anything from his vantage point you think could boost Saturday up the ranks a little bit?
Well, I mean, I think the one thing that he perhaps has going for him is that he is very much the antithesis of Frank Reich in terms of his approach. Now, that doesn't mean that Frank Reich's approach was terrible. I think I will die on this hill that Frank Reich can be a successful head coach in this league. And he's actually a very, very intelligent offensive coach. Like, those are undeniable facts. It just didn't work, right? It didn't work. And that is fine. Good coaches get fired all the time. So anyway, but if there is a failure with Frank Reich, maybe it was his demeanor, right? And I thought it was fine and effective for a long time, but maybe it had run its course. It's possible. Frank Reich is a very mild-mannered leader. He's a very meek kind of guy just generally. I actually think that endears him to people, maybe outside of the football realm, but maybe, you know, you got to get in there and you got to be a little bit of a you know, the hard ass, for lack of a better word, if I can say that, you know, here. I should have asked before the show. Anyway,
you're good.
So Jeff is definitely willing to do that, right? Jeff has definitely got after guys. He gets in guys' faces when needed. I think the question is, does that matter as much if you don't have the necessary credibility? And he doesn't have as much credibility, right? As certainly not as much as these other guys, but he does have familiarity now because he's been in that building. He definitely has a lot going for him in terms of being familiar. He can dig deeper into the issues that are ailing this team than any of these other guys because he knows them better. And this even goes back to him being a consultant for the Colts, you know, prior to getting the interim tag. So he has a lot of time on task, if you will. And that's where I think he can kind of connect with Ballard, you know, and whoever else is in on these interviews. And maybe drill down on what their issues are.
Right, right. And maybe this is just me being the only one here who has not been in that building and does not listen to these press conference stuff. But as someone who's an outsider, the one thing we kept hearing about Jeff Saturday is he brought this air of accountability and he was holding guys accountable. And yes, I know that a lot of that came into the way of yelling and stuff like that and calling guys out. We heard players even mention it. You know, they gave their vote of confidence for Jeff Saturday based on his accountability and the way that he kind of conducted himself. But for me, someone outside, every time I saw a press conference or an interview, I didn't see much accountability, at least on his own end there. For you that's kind of been in the building and been around a lot of this, is some of what the players are saying and a lot of that accountability stuff, is that just kind of come off more as like, you know, just kind of coach speak from the players? Or did you kind of get that feel that the players did respect Jeff Saturday and did like what he was bringing in terms of accountability and stuff like that?
Well, I think for me, what it really demonstrates for me is just that they saw the contrast in the leadership style more than anything. Yeah. I think the question for me is like, to what end? Like, what did it bring? What did it yield? And the answer is like nothing. I mean, I hate to say that, but like they have nothing to show for it. So it sounds good, and it may even be something that's necessary, right? I mean, you're clearly not going to hire a carbon copy of Frank Wright because no teams do that. But at the same time, my argument would be, all right, if you want to make the argument against Jeff Saturday and if you want to just take the results out of it, right, which you can't, but let's give him a little bit of a pass, which Chris Ballard seemed to do. I think you can find somebody who, if you want to make that argument against him, the argument would be this: you can find somebody who can bring accountability and bring a different leadership style, who also has the experience and the background that sets them up to do this job at a high level. So that's not hard to find. If that's what they want, that's out there. And I'm sure some of these candidates have that, those characteristics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, man, I don't know about you guys, but I'm just so fascinated to see what a coaching staff around Jeff Saturday looks like, because there's no tree. It's all, you know, that's why Peyton Manning is listed as a potential coach and everything on the betting websites. And like, I'm just so fascinated. But
Orlovsky's another... really aiming for that offensive coordinator job.
Oh,
I'm
kidding.
That's the most common one. But honestly, someone else who's in-house and probably has a lot more connections and could build a pretty good staff is Bubba Ventrone. And I know you're the same way in the locker room. You've heard a lot of support for him over the years. And a lot of these guys figured it would be Bubba that took over after Frank was fired, right?
Yeah, it would have made perfect sense. No one would have batted an eye. He has a very capable assistant who could have filled his role as a special teams coordinator. And he could obviously still play a big role in that regard as well. So it's my belief that if Jeff Saturday were not a factor here and Frank Reich gets fired, I mean, my guess is that if Chris Ballard's making the choice, it would have been Bubba. And I would tell you what, I would have been fully on board with that. I think he has what it takes. I mean, when I've been asked about who in that building has head coach potential, he's my first answer. He has been for a couple of years now. And I firmly believe that. It's a couple of things. Number one, so I think special teams coaches in general don't get a fair shake, but they touch the whole roster. This is not original. Everybody knows this, but they touch the whole roster. And they also, I think, they understand the mechanisms of the roster, because Chris Ballard has told us this repeatedly. He leans pretty heavily on Bubba when it comes down to time to cut the roster at the end of the preseason. Now, first of all, your special teams coach utilizes the bottom of that roster, you know, completely, right? Those are their special teams core guys. And he has a lot of influence there. Now, it's not just that he has influence, but he's also listening to them, you know? And I think that tells you something about, you know, how they see Bubba Ventrone's ability to scout and to understand players and sort of project where they might fit. I mean, those are tough things to do. Some coaches aren't very good at that part of it, you know? So that tells me a lot. And then the other thing is, I think he has a unique ability, it seems, from the outside. He has a unique ability to build guys up and to get a lot out of them. There have been, and I know, Jake, you've heard guys say this, there have been guys that have told us, you know, like in training camp, you know, they weren't getting a lot of reps on special teams. And Bubba had no problem telling them, dude, you're not ready. I can't put you out there. And that's some tough love. But he has a great ability to do that and to be very straightforward while also showing them the way, you know, because a lot of those same guys did ultimately get on the field. And so I just think his ability to, well, let's reverse that. Let me rephrase that, I should say. The bottom of your roster is constantly churning, especially with Chris Ballard, right? And so those are the guys he's got to work with every day. And yet they have consistently been one of the elite special teams unit in the league. That tells me that he's getting the absolute most out of these guys, some of whom really, you know, are really just getting thrown in there at times.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I got one last funny question. Sorry, what were you saying, Jim?
I just had to mention, it was funny because I remember from training camp, one of the guys I can remember him yelling at the most was Dallas Flowers. And now look at what Dallas Flowers is.
Yeah. He's a great example. Yeah.
Sorry, Zach.
You're good, Jake. I cut you off all the time, so this is perfect. But I got one more question for you, Steven, and then you go. You can tell me to buzz off with this one here if you want. But when I look at Bubba Ventrum and I look at he's a player's coach, he's a rah-rah guy, but he's also a really smart guy. He's shown the ability to scout. I mean, Isaiah Rodgers is another great example. He was pounding the table for Isaiah Rodgers. Isaiah Rodgers is not on this roster without Bubba Ventrum. You know, Bubba Ventrum has shown the ability to scout, rah-rah guy, players love him. What makes Jeff Saturday a better candidate in any way than Bubba Ventrum?
Well, he has the right friend. There's that. He has friends in high places. I don't know if that makes him a better candidate or a more viable candidate. Like, those are two different things, right? So, no, I think Bubba has put in the work. Listen, the other thing about Bubba, and it's not just, oh, he's played a long time and he coached a long time. No, I mean, he's demonstrated what it takes to do the job, right? That is the core. That's the core and fundamental thing here. The other thing with Bubba Ventrum is I think, you know, look, this is a fan base that got scarred by that Josh McDaniels experience, right? But and some of those New England coaches who have left the nest, they have not panned out, right? But the good thing about Bubba Ventrum is while he is a Belichick guy, he is not a product of the New England coaching staff. I think really where he really, I think, became an elite coach is here in Indianapolis. So that, I think he kind of, that's a credit to him, I guess is what I'm saying, and not a knock against him.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you, Steven, for jumping on today and talking about these candidates. Yeah. You guys all know that I'm a big Raheem Morris fan. I have been for like a decade now. So having Steven pump him up, and then Bubba Ventrum, I'm really intrigued. I don't know if that you'll get it this cycle, but I think one day he will be one of those few special teams coaches that actually succeeds as a head coach. I really, really think he's got it there. So Steven, thanks for joining and talking about these guys with us.
Hey, you got it. Anytime.
Yep. Thanks. See you, buddy. All right, guys, and coming up, Jake and I are going to talk about our thoughts on these couple candidates that we just talked about. Before that, I want to talk to you about our friends at betonline.net, which is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football to college bowl season to basketball and World Cup. We've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to find your betting info. Head to the website today or use the mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. All right, Jake. So obviously, I'm very biased when it comes to Raheem Morris. And just in the case of being honest with you guys and talking about why I like Raheem Morris, I remember very vividly the failure of him as a head coach with the Buccaneers. I was a little kid. I remember laughing about that situation and stuff like that. I was, I guess, 16, 17 in high school. And I remember he got hired to my favorite football team, Washington, right afterwards, the Washington Commanders, immediately after that. And I was like, okay, you know what? If he failed as a head coach, he might still be a good defensive back coach, because that's what he got brought on to. And a very, very talented Washington team, Washington coaching staff, a team that went to the playoffs in 2012, he came in there and just as a fan watching, you could see the energy that he was bringing and what he was doing with that defensive back group. And it got to the point in 2014 when he left to go work with the Falcons. I remember being upset about it. I was like, man, Raheem Morris was awesome for us. So it was kind of awesome just to see his growth from there. He was interim coach there in Atlanta. He did a phenomenal job with a very bad Atlanta roster, you know, just winning four of those last 11 games when he stepped in. I know that's not a great number, but they were 0-5 when he took over. And he got their defense playing well. I think they were top 10 defense in the league for like the second half of that season. He did a lot of good things with that team. I really, really like Raheem Morris as a candidate. And I'm really happy that Zach Kiefer article came out that said that he interviewed well and that he was impressive, because I really think he's the most impressive candidate. Like, just if you're looking at the scope of candidacy and what he can bring and the staff he can bring, he is the best candidate. Now, there are intriguing options, more interesting options, maybe more upside options, if for lack of a better word there. But I think Raheem Morris is the most impressive candidate in this whole cycle for the Colts.
Yeah, I certainly will leave today feeling better about Morris. Like, I already thought he was a pretty decent candidate, but after what Zach wrote, after what Steven shared with us, like, he might be the most complete candidate. Like, there's really not much downside at all if they hire him. You know, he sounds like he's going to bring in a really nice coaching staff if he does so. And obviously they're going to take a quarterback here in the first. If he can bring in a talented young offensive or quarterback type to coach with him, Zach Robinson, that could be nice. You know, there's, again, we talked about the amount of connections he has. So, like, there's guys we probably aren't even considering that are options to come in. And so that is excellent. You know, defensively, he's a really good defensive mind, very versatile. He's been on both sides of the ball. So, very comfortable with that hire. If he's the front runner right now, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm very much on board. And I know, again, you guys get scared of retreads. I get scared of retreads. Retreads are terrifying. And I had someone point out to me on social media, you know, like, I don't want to go down that Gruden route or that McDaniels route and something like that. A lot of guys, if they fail their first time, they're not going to be successful their second time because, you know, it's already there. But again, I'm not comparing them to these two guys, but these are two defensive coaches I'm talking about. Before Bill Belichick landed in New England, he was a failure of a head coach, with no success. I think it was in Cleveland, and I think he was hired by the Jets, but then left to go coach New England. So a complete failure of a head coach, goes to New England. Now he's a Hall of Fame coach, arguably the greatest coach of all time. Another one, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll back in the 90s was a terrible NFL head coach. I think he had two stints where he was just a terrible, terrible head coach. Then when he got his next try with the Seattle Seahawks, won a Super Bowl. Now he's on pace to be a Hall of Fame head coach as well. You know, guys should not be defined by who they were or what they were 15 to 20 years ago as head coaches. And I'm not saying Raheem Morris is the same as Bill Belichick or as Pete Carroll. I think those are very, very different guys. I'm just saying that, you know, in the course of 15, 20 years, guys can change. They can build up that experience. I mean, Raheem Morris has been coaching in the NFL since he was 25. And, you know, he's 46 years old right now with 21 mm-hmm. years of coaching experience. He's almost got more coaching experience than he has life experience without coaching in the NFL. He has been doing this a long time. He's fairly well qualified, and he's got connections to the Shanahan and McVay trees. I mean, there's a lot to like about Raheem Morris. And I think, honestly, again, the most qualified candidate and just the best overall candidate on paper.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think we could talk. We'll probably have to have another Raheem Morris section once he's inevitably revealed as a finalist. Any new thoughts now on Saturday versus Ventrone?
No, same thing.
Well, same thing. I knew you were already like, Jeff Saturday was 63rd on your list of candidates.
I like Bubba, man. I like Bubba. I really do.
Man,
I think one day he's going to be a successful head coach. I don't know if it's ready mm-hmm. yet, but I do think, you know, we'll get a couple more years of him here in Indy. Hopefully, if Raheem Morris or whoever gets the head coaching job, they'll name Bubba Ventrone as like associate head coach to kind of fast track him into being a head coach. That's typically the way that you fast track guys into it, that name them as the assistant head coach or the associate head coach and give them some of that head coaching responsibility. Because like I mentioned at the very end there with Steven, I mean, he's shown the ability to scout. He's shown the ability to be tough on players, but also be their best friend. He's a rah-rah guy while also being a great teacher. He's a film junkie. He's a player that can relate to guys. I mean, there's a lot of things to like about Bubba Ventrone. I don't know if he's ready yet, but he will be one day. I think he's going to be one of those few exceptions of a special teams coach that becomes a very good head coach.
Yeah, I totally agree. And honestly, last summer when Frank Reich opened training camp on the COVID list, Bubba Ventrone was briefly the interim head coach. So, I mean, that's a very small sample size, but it just goes to show you what they think about him. Man, So that is it for another few candidates of this whole bushel of them. That's it for us today. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow to keep chatting with great guests like Steven about the rest of these Colts candidates.
Yeah, make sure you guys are following us on social media. Follow at Locked On Colts, at Jake Arthur NFL, and at Zach Hicks 2 on Twitter. Also subscribe to Locked On Colts podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast, bringing you the local insights that you love to the national spotlight with daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys tomorrow.